not a Sunday usually. Okay, that's fine. Let me just. Torreway, Northwest London, Sunday, Yud Dalet Elul, the 22nd of August, Rav Yossi David Shlita, the Choshen Mishpot in Bedikas Mezuzas. This week's Shurim have been sponsored by family Max Grossnas on the yahrzeit of his late father-in-law, Leil Nishmas Reb Aryeh ben Reb Moshe Betzalel Reich Zeche Tzadik Levrocha. His yahrzeit is on Yud Zayin Elul.
Right.
Morning.
Morning.
There's a famous Matir Frayim which is very known. Minhag Anshe Maisa is to check the mezuzah. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it as well. There's a minhag to check the tefillin and mezuzah and elul. And we look for any wrongdoings in our day-to-day life. Part of it, first thing is, let's try and see things which don't affect really our day-to-day living. Yeah, it's not changing ourselves, it's more blaming the sofa and saying probably, that's probably my wrongdoing. But we start that way. We begin with the sofa and we start checking our mezuzahs. There's Rav Chaim Falaji, in his book Chukei Chaim, he writes, if it was up to me, I would check mezuzahs in Nisan, Pesach time, and check tefillin on Rosh Hashanah. Why? On Elul. Because the cleaning which takes place, there's a minute to clean the walls. So the chances are that the mezuzahs get spoiled just before Pesach. And the tefillin, as it says in Matzah Ephraim, you know, you check it before this. Nice idea. Okay. I don't know if you've heard of someone called a Ben Ish Chai. You've heard? His Yom Tov was lost yesterday. We go, Baruch Hashem. Oh, B'toch Hami, Ani Hashem. Yeah? Yesterday was the Yom Tov, Gimel Elul. I thought, Leilu Nishmosa, you know, so let's learn a little bit of his stories. I picked on one of the questions he has, and you should know, everything which I'm saying now is mainly from what he writes in the tshuva. Nothing is mine. And it was an interesting question was asked. And the question was as follows. Someone took a Sefer Torah. It's a double question, really. Took a Sefer Torah from the tzibur to check. They asked him to check it. With negligence, the Sefer Torah got stolen, got taken away. He didn't look after it properly, got stolen. He comes to, he has to pay back a Sefer Torah to the tzibur. So the sofer claims, all the tzibur needs, this was a very expensive Sefer Torah. The writing was very special, looked very good. He says, I need to replace the tzibur, a Sefer Torah which they can read from. A kosher Sefer Torah, properly muga. But I don't have to give that same mehuda Sefer Torah back, which the tzibur is lost. I deprived them of the mitzvah of Kriyas Torah. I've got to give them back to them. The tzibur obviously said, Ma pitom, no nonsense. What, we want the Sefer Torah, we paid for it a lot of money. We need it back. It happens very common. I check for people mezuzah tefillin. And sometimes, you know, someone gives you a mezuzah, you put it away, you end up losing it. What do you do? Same question was, there was a sofer took on mezuzahs and tefillin, and he lost them. Also, same claim, I need to provide this man with mezuzahs and tefillin. I get him a kosher, but the guy says, I got a very good sofer who, I don't know, went to the mikveh every time he went to Hashem Hashem, he wrote Hashem Hashem. Mamash, all the Hidurim you can think of, and writing tefillin and mezuzahs. And he wants to get away with paying, just replacing the mitzvah.
Somebody's got a Rolls Royce stolen.
If it was a mitzvah to drive Rolls Royce, we'll have the same shadow of Rolls Royce. We haven't established such a mitzvah yet. It sounds strange. It sounds far-fetched.
It's a mitzvah to have tefillin. It's not the better to better tefillin.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. The Maharam Mintz had this question. The Maharam Mintz lived about 500 years ago. Yeah. A lot of the minhagim of the Ashkenazim are based in the Maramins. He learned by Trumas Adeshen, and he writes, he was asked this question on Sukkos. Someone purchased an esrog, a beautiful esrog, and he can pay a lot for them before Sukkos, a lot of money. And he comes out happy, he shows it to his friend. His friend started joking around or looking at this. He dropped the esrog, it broke. The pitim came off, it became posel. It's a famous story, comes in different shapes and sizes, the story. But Maramins, that was the story. Oh, Poshav and Nignav, let's say he got stolen. Like, you know, so, but Maramins was asked this question. He bought a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Bava Kamma daf ayin ches amud beis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, someone says, Hare alai oila. I've got to bring a korban oila. There's a machlokes between Rabbonon, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, or Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach. Whether, when a person takes on himself to bring a korban, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, a korban oila, does he have to bring a keves or an bnei oif, a chicken, a bird, a dove, bnei oina. So the Gemara asks, what happens if someone allocated, separated, he says, I want to do the mitzvah behidu. You can be an oil, you can be an ashor, you can be an ox as well. I want to do the mitzvah with an ox. And he separated an ox for his korban oila. He says, it's kochim already. So all it's waiting is for him to bring it as a korban. He wants to do a mitzvah min amuvcha. The Gemara says, what happened was the ganav came and stole the ox. Stole the ox. The poor chap was left with nothing. So the Gemara says, what does the ganav have to replace? Does he have to replace an ox? Or can he just say, you know what? According to the Chachomim, a keves would have been sufficient for your korban oila. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach, it would be enough, a yoina. So why do I have to replace you more than that? I don't have to give you back an expensive ox. Rava's conclusion is that's the halacha. The ganav doesn't have to replace more than a keves akun to chachomim and a yoina akun to Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach.
What's the logic?
What's going on here? Because he undertook to bring an oila, and an oila is sufficient to bring a keves. I'm replacing your duty towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. The fact that I'm a mechase from Kochim, from the Shulchan Gavoya, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Mizbeach, will have an ox. It's my dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ganav will deal with it, yeah? Hakadosh Baruch Hu is fine with the keves. You, as far as you're concerned, you're okay by going with the keves.
In Choshe Mishpat, who does the animal belong to?
Choshe Mishpat, the animal currently belongs to Kochim, but it's Be'achrayus. You're right, you've got a good point. It's fully responsible, the owners are fully responsible for this animal. So it's got Chiyuv V'Achrayus. Momenus, I don't know if you hold Chiyuv V'Achrayus as Momenus, that's a question. But it doesn't really belong to him, he's already separated it. Are you jumping along and saying that there's a difference between a korban to tefillin, mezuzah, or mehuda? But Maramin seemed to have taken on that here we have, you deprive the person from bringing a mitzvah min amuvcha, for doing a mitzvah behidur, the ganav can provide you a mitzvah.
Why don't we look what the ganav did. He took that.
The ganav deprived you from a mitzvah.
No, he's giving it back to you.
You're asking a very good question. And you were mechaven to the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, the Mishneh LeMelech, prior to the Chacham Tzvi, they asked this question. Which obviously, you're all jumping up and asking this question. The Maramins, what's going on here? Just want to read the words of the Maramins. He writes, Enach Chinamin after Sukkos, if the esrog for some reason has got some value, then he has to replace that value. But as far as the mitzvah is concerned, during Sukkos, all I have to give you is a poshut etzer. That's all. That's all I've got to give you. The Maramitz ends up Yirotzim Lifne Adon Kol Shenekayim Mitzvah Behidur Betzibur Bekal Rav Beasiyah Beshmiyah Bedibur. That's how he leaves it. He says, focus on the Hidur in other areas. Make sure you do the Mitzvah with the Tzibur. They're like, you don't worry about the Mehuda Esrog, we can. So big Chidush. The Chacham Tzvi writes in a very sharp language. He reads, Ve'anius Daiti Shgoga Hi Beyodei. He made a terrible mistake, the Maran Mintz. Doesn't make any logic. Says the Chacham Tzvi, you've got someone selling a Esrogim. Yeah, 60, 100 pounds each esrog. Someone comes along and takes those esrogim and spoils them. All he has to return to him is 20 pound esrogim? Of course not. Of course not. The guy who's got it, it says in the box how much the value is. You have to replace him whatever the value is.
That's different.
What's the difference to someone who purchases an esrog and you spoil it for him? All of a sudden, no, all you have to replace for him is the mitzvah? That means basically what the Chacham Tzvi is saying, that it's proper, don't bring a raya from the Gemara in Bava Kamma. There's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei Tes, the Gemara says, HaMoyche Oilosor Shlomov Lo Yasa Klum. Once you've designated an oila, you can't sell it. It's got no market value. You can't sell it. That's why the Gemara says, all he has to replace, as far as he's concerned, I've got to replace a korban. But when I have a tefillin, which were mehudorim, or I have a Sefer Torah, you don't have to replace me a mitzvah. It's mominous. I can go and sell this tefillin and I get full value for it. So I should have to pay back fully. The Ganav should pay back fully. That's what the Chacham Tzvi claims. So to the Mishnah Melech, he says, Iba the same as Svora, Iba the same as Gemara. I'll tell you, Svora is the logic I just told you. It makes no sense. It's mominous here. Second, the Gemara should have given a bigger chidush. Rava in Bava Kamma should have said a bigger chidush. Even by something which has a monetary value, like tefillin, mezuzahs, not only oiler, that also all you have to replace is the mitzvah. Rava didn't say that. She says, they got a rye from the Gemara, not like the Marabins. Very big chidush. The Shavus Yaakov also asked, the Minchas Yaakov, to Shlomim, he writes similar idea. He questions, like the Chacham Tzvi, he questions on the Mishnah Lamelech, on the Marabins. And he adds on, that Enachiname says, I would agree that if someone spoils someone Esrog just before Shachris, or when the person couldn't sell it to anybody, no one would buy it there, then I'll agree to you. He's also limited. In momentous wise, he wouldn't be able to sell this Esrog for this value. But otherwise, if it's before Sukkos, where a man can sell it, he says, no question about it. He has to give to the last penny back. Take a bit of chidush, he says. The Mati Yehuda Ayash, Rabbi Yehuda Ayash from Algeria, he also asked this question 250 years ago, 280 years ago. And he adds on and he says, if you look at the way the Rambam paskened the Gemara in the Fine Ches, the Rambam seems to not deal with the Ganav at all. He says, the Gemara is not dealing with the Ganav at all. The Gemara is asking, what does the owner have to bring now? Is he good enough to bring a keves or a yoina? Or he has to bring a shawl like he separated lechatchila? That's the question. That's what the Rambam only deals with. The ganav, portion he has to give back full. So that's, he also goes with his achronim who question the Maran Mintz. So according to what we're saying now, there would be a big difference between the Sefer Torah, which of a tzibul, for instance, halacha is, the Kneses shel Krochim, you can't sell a Sefer Torah for no reason. Unless you were to Ve'ir. A private Sefer Torah you can sell. So a public Sefer Torah has no value really because it can't be sold. But the tefillin and mezuzahs which you go and give check or a private Sefer Torah, you'd have to pay to the last penny back.
Isn't there a halacha that a kehillah that doesn't have a mikveh has to sell the Sefer Torah?
Yes, there's certain circumstances where you can sell, but you're still in Shiva Tuva'ir. You're still in Shiva Tuva'ir. It's under extreme circumstances.
No, so it still has a value.
You're right. It may have a value. I mean, soon ask even stronger than what you're asking. Just give us a second. I hear. The Prima Godim makes a chiluk between if the Sefer spoiled it b'mezid or b'shoigig. There's a rabbi called Bet HaShoeva, who's a Sfaradi rabbi, who's called Ashkenazi. Yeah, they used to title those who used to come from Ashkenaz to live in Eastern countries to call them Ashkenazi. Yeah, to know which one we're talking about. And he wrote a sefer Bet HaShoeva. He says, I don't understand the chiluk of the prima godim. Odom mod loilam ben shoygim ben mezid ben ner ben yoshin. What's the difference? How he did the hezek? Should pay full value. Okay, but the chagav, the prima godim has a whole sofik. What happens if you spoil someone's estrog and you only remember to pay him back after sukkos? You call the ganav after sukkos. So he stole the estrog. He says, can he say arish lecha lefanecha or not? He's in doubt. This beis hashoeva says, poshut you can say arish lecha lefanecha. What's the problem? Here's your estrog. Yeah, the hezek is not nika. He stole it. Then he returned it then. Anyway, that's a different subject. There is a Admas Koyrish. Yeah? I must tell you, the Ben Ish Chai, when he wrote this Shaila, he wrote over 70 publications for him. Over 70. One of them is called Tere Lishma. It's a beautiful Shailas and Tshuvas, but it's nameless. It's got a funny name. Yecheskel Kachli. No one ever knows who this Yecheskel Kachli is. It's Gematria of Yosef Chaim. The reason why he did that is one of his svarim, he left it like the Chidah has a doubt whether you should write your name on the Sefer. Oh, you shouldn't write your name. Yeah? Kvod Hashem Aster Davar. So to be Yoytze Zayin, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Be'ilum Shem, he wrote the Sefer, but it's clearly him. Because he repeated in Ben Yoyodon Baba Kama, the same question with names of the Achronim. He didn't want people to realize what generation the Sefer is. There's a Sefer called Admas Koidesh. Yeah, his name was Abnisi Mizrahi, over 280 years ago. And he asks a powerful question. He says, I don't understand why everybody's attacking the Maramins. He's absolutely right. There's a brilliant drive from the Gemara Baba Kama. Why? We all know, but it's familiar by Trumos and Maestros. And Simon Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Memchez Shulchan Aruch Paskins that if someone regrets the Afroshos Trumos Umaisel, the Truma he took out, he can do Atoros Nedarim. He can go to a Chochem, and it'll be Oiken Neder Meikora, and he can make the Truma Chulin, or Tevel, whatever. Can be Nishal ala Trumos. Not only that, you can be Nishal on a Korban as well. If you separate an Oila, you can be Nishal on Kochim as well. It's a Rambam in Ichas Nedarim. So he says, Maramin says, also this one who was Mafrish Ashor, it's got a market value. Because he can go to a Chochem, he can show Charota, he can show Pesach, he'll be Oiked and Nedem Meikarei. And he'll nullify the whole Kedusha on this animal. And he'll end up being Momon Baili. He'll be able to sell it further. So, even the case in the Gemara in Bava Kama is really got a value. And still, Rava concludes that all the Ganav has to replace is a Keves. All he has to replace is a Yoyna Kuntra Belazem and Azariah. So we see arrive from here that even something which has a monetary, if it's a mitzvah, it's still all you have to replace as a Ganav, you have to replace the mitzvah. That's all. Yeah, it's similar to what you asked, no? A little bit. Not the same, but a little bit. Yeah. So that's what the Admas Kodesh asks. Now comes the Ben Ish Chai with the sharpness. He says, "Lo hitzil et amarim mins me'akushiyot alav." Why? Didn't succeed. There's a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara says, someone who says koyanim and levim shouldn't benefit from any of my things. Yeah? And he has a whole pile of trumas here. Yeah? So the Gemara there discusses, he's got Teva Sano, which Kohen. So therefore now the Kohenim won't be able to take. The Mishnah says that the Kohenim can take Baal Korcha. Why? Because the moment he declared that his Oysa not to Kohenim, he's got nothing to do with Truma. Who can have a Truma? No one in the world can use a truma. So it kind of is mafke is teva sano because you can't do nothing with it. So it's hefke. So now the kohenim can come and take it baal kolcha. Says the Rashba, it's brought down in the Ran, and I saw it later on in Chidushya Rashba. The Rashba says, someone who asses all his payers on himself. He says, I'm not going to benefit, I'm not mother and not from all my payers. Says the Rashba, we can, from here we can prove, that you can, anybody of us can come and take from a payers Baal Kolcha, without reshus. Why? Because at the moment he said, I shouldn't benefit completely, it as if he's disowned it. He's been mafkir it. As if it's not his. And therefore you can take it. Questions the Rashba, but maybe he'll be lishoel al nidroi and he'll end up being a gan of lemafreya. He'll go to the chochom, he'll say, nullify what I just said, take it back, Pesach, Charota, and go back. And it'll be oikid and nedem ikor. And he'll end up, the Kohen will end up stealing the Torah. So no, the Yisrael who takes from someone else will end up stealing. Says the Rashba, I've got a raya that so long as he hasn't done that, we consider it as if it's proper and they can take it. What's a raya? The Gemara in Ksuvos the Fine Best says, if someone is mekadish a woman, al menas she'en alaych ve'alay medorim. Give kiddushin to a woman al tnai that not him and not her have any nedorim. And it turns out that she or him have nedorim. The Gemara says, eino mekudeshes. She's no mekudeshes. Meaning, says the Rashba, she can go and remarry. She can go and marry. No problem. She never had kiddushin at all. Says the Rashba, what happens if he'll go and mati his neder and he won't have any nedorim? So lemafreya de kiddushim or kiddushin. She'll end up being an eshes ish. We're not worried at all. The Gemara the Fine Dalit says that if he's matted his neder afterwards, he can turn her into an eshes ish. She won't do it because she'll be causing problems for herself. But he may do it to her. Says the Rashba, we're not concerned at all. Mikan raya, says the Rashba, that so long as the lo nishal al nidra, he didn't have charota on his neder, he didn't have a dushail on his neder, we don't have a concern that he might do it. We treat it as if it's as if the neder is chal. So therefore he says, now the Gemara talks about an oiler. Yes, theoretically he could go to the chochem and mimati the neder. Theoretically. But that's not enough. Because it had not yet been done, says the Rashba. It's not done. So there's a big difference between that and tefillin and mezuzah, which have the proper monetary value. At any moment, you can go and sell it. Sell it on. So he concludes with this chiluk, and he says, there's a difference between something which has a monetary value to something which hasn't got a monetary value. The fact that you can make it, eichet timtza, you can make lishal and nidroi, and make it have monetary value, so long as you have not done it yet, we treat it as if you have not done it at all and you're not going to do it. Like kiddushin, you shouldn't allow this woman to remarry because he might be nishal al nidrei, and we still allow her. So it's mashma from here that so long as it's not done, we don't treat it as if it's done. So therefore, same thing here. So the Mara means the question comes back of the Chacham Tzvi, of the Mishnah the Melech, all comes back again. And that's how he leaves for the Maskana. That's how he analyzes this question.
Doesn't the Mahudah Sefer Torah have value because it's got to be replaced?
Yeah.
So therefore...
No, it depends who it belongs to. If it belongs to the Tzibu, where only under extreme circumstances they'll be able to sell it, but generally they can't. So he wants to say that's not considered monetary value yet. Because you haven't... The situation for it to enable it to have a monetary value hasn't taken place. It's only if, like he mentioned, if they have to build a mikveh, or if they have to do something which, oh, shiva tu ve'ail, that's extreme circumstances which currently has not yet happened. Similar to what the Rashba says, that by Kiddush, he can go and be matir his neder, and he'll end up making a eshes ish. So how can we allow her to get married? He has not yet done it. It's a theoretical. And that's not enough to turn it into a situation which is now. Same thing with that. When it comes to tefillin and mezuzah, which are privately owned, and sefer Torah is privately owned, says, Mabitav, there's no right for the Gemara of Bava Kama. That's got proper monetary value. At any moment, I can go and sell it. I don't need to do anything prior to the selling. I don't have to. I can sell it straight away. So that's got a market value.
What will happen if he did the night, the marriage,
She married in the meantime.
That's what we're talking.
And
then she had children. And then he do it. He's a troublemaker. Naughty man. Yeah, we won't like him. Chazal won't like him, but he can do it. He can do it. She won't do it because she'll end up messing herself up. But he can do it. That's what the Rashi would bring an ayah from. The fine Dalit, it says that. Yeah? Okay, that's the tshuva of the Ben Yishchai. Now, Le'ilu Nishmos, I want to say something which he writes in Ben Yayada. The Gemara says, Atida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. The Gemara Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, I think, in Shabbos. And it describes a woman going around asking about a kikah shel truma to know if it's tome or tor. Very strange. Why bring a woman into the picture? Usually men don't like asking. The questions on Issa Veheta is usually from the woman. They've got more, less embarrassment to show ignorance. So, Ben Yishchai and Ben Yayoda says, the woman created Tuma to the world. Yeah, they brought Tuma by the Chet of Adam Arishon. So that's why she goes around asking about Tuma and Tehara. That's what the Gemara shows the woman. Comes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and says, Ki loy tishokach mipi zaroi. It can't be. Torah will never be forgotten. So what's pshat in the pasuk in almost says that almost which says that Yeshoititu when you vokshu dvar Hashem and they won't find, what does it mean? So it says Shaloi tiye halacha brura mishna brura b'makom echad. There won't be clarity in halacha. Take today the smallest of halachas, you'll always find the machloikas. You have to be mevarer. This one holds their God. That's the most simplest thing. It should have been simpler. Always this discussion. Tremendous. Asks the Ben Yishchai, why is Hashem punishing our day, our generation? He should have done all these fakers in the time of the Tanoim, Amoraim, Rambam. Why us? So he says, we need a lot of tzchuyas. The fact that every question will demand us to go into the sugya properly and to work hard to try and get the maskana to what we need, that's what's going to create muzchuyas. Another thing he says, we're going to be doing lechumra on many sveikas when we don't really have to. Tlapeshmaya galya, the aloch is not like that. You can be maker. But out of doubt, we'll be making a lot of chumras which possibly we didn't have to. That's going to create in Shamayim a big sanigoria. A big schus to Am Yisrael. So that's what the Ben Yishchai says. That's what it means. Halacha brura, mishnah brura. That's a tremendous power. There's a Gemara which says, in Eruvin, Daf Kuf, the Gemara says, Ilmale Torah nitna. Says Rabbi Yochanan, if the Torah wouldn't have given to the Jewish people, we would have learned derecheret, we would have learned from who? We would have learned from a cat's nails, from a chatul, from a nemala, gneva, gzela, from birds, arayas, and the Gemara there says, derecheres from a tarnegol. Questions of Ben Yishchai. So what if we have the Torah? Why can't we learn from these animals as well? They're there. Huh?
My Rebbe said, if you do it through a chatul, you put it in the wrong places.
Rabbi Sol Salanta says that. Salanti says, look at the tzniyos of a cat, he's such a tzaddik. He looks for a private place to do his necessities. He'll find someone else's shoes and he'll do it there. The ants don't steal from each other, but they steal from us the whole time. He says it. But the Ben Yishchai says something else. All these animals, all these creatures, have got only one good midah. The rest of the midahs are terrible, or corrupt probably. Yeah? They're selfish. They've only got one midah. There's a danger. Had we not had the Torah, we'd learn from them. We'd have no choice. But we try and take only the good. But we'd also risk learning from them not good things. Now that we have the Torah, we're not allowed to learn from these animals. Because we risk a danger that we learn also the negative things. I'm saying the same thing as today. Unfortunately, there's many publications or many sheets constantly. They can hold themselves Rabbonim, and they constantly quote Koifrim. They quote non-Jewish sources, even on a parsha, on anything. And they're so proud, they think the words will be accepted more. And Mamash Rav Akiva says in Perek Chelek, Sforim Chitzonim. In this week's parsha, we talk about Shiloh HaKen. We talk about Shiloh HaKen, and there's a Gemara at the end of Chulin, which talks about Acher. about this child who went up the tree. And on the way down, his father told him to do Shluach HaKenem, and that's the Gemara is Arachta Yami Levan Yitav Lach. So the Gemara said, had Acha interpreted like his grandson, Balti, Rabbi Yaakov, he would interpret the Pasuk Le'olam Shekulo Toiv, he wouldn't have failed. But the question is, why did he fail? Because the Gemara in Chagiga, Sifre Minim Noishim Becheiko. He had Sforim of Minim. He used to go to the base of Midrash, and his mind was already filled with other nonsense, and it's very hard to learn in such a way. When you learn, you risk, even though the Rambam is so proud that he saw writings of Aristotle and his Talmidim and this, and he says, Korov Lenevuah, he wrote it, someone once asked me, don't you know the Moir Nevuchim? It's very important, you need to know it. He shows you what to be rational mean, what to be this. I said, had the Rambam wanted me to read it, he wouldn't have written it in Arabic. He would have written it in Lashon HaKodesh. Yad Chazak, he wrote it in Lashon HaKodesh. He asked me to read Mishnah, it's different. He didn't want me to read it. Obviously, he did it for certain people. The Be'er Sheva Eilenberg writes that the Rambam had learned the whole of the Torah. He questions on the Rambam how he learned this for him, the Sifre Minim, and he risked learning from them the worst of things. He says he learned the whole of the Torah prior to learning this for him. Furthermore, he didn't know that Rivosh already wrote that. Talmid of the Ram. In Simon Mem Hei writes that the Rambam had learned the whole of the Torah. So, Le'ilu Nishmos of the Ben Yishchai, that's what he says. You risk learning the wrongdoings when you learn even good things, even positive things from someone who's not good, you risk learning the bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'madrichach v'derech eshorah, which should never be nichshol b'dvar halacha.